What I'm going to do this morning is really looking at part two of this passage, Galatians 5, 16 to 26, which is about to be free in God to become more and more like Jesus. This is my part two, so I would really encourage you, if you want to understand the conflictual dynamic between the Holy Spirit and our flesh, and as well what the passage means in its generality, I would encourage you to listen to part one, because now what I'm doing is I'm going to dig deeper. You could still listen to that, just that, but I think it's better to have an overview to listen to part one and part two. I mean, if I essentially summarize very quickly for you, in this passage, we are, let me just put it on because then it will make more sense. In this passage, we are called to walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desire of our flesh, okay? Our flesh is everything that is appetites in our bodies, the way we think or feel or act that has not been regenerated by God. This needs to kind of die because we have been crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. That's what Galatians 2 verse 20 is saying. So that's basically the picture. And then I saw last week that we need to first recognize there is a conflict between the flesh and the spirit, and we are to take responsibility for our daily walk with God, so we don't project blame on other people, but we sensitive to the Holy Spirit when he points areas in our lives that need changing, we're walking with him and let him transform us with from within, basically. So we've seen last week, this is a process. That's why we need grace, and that's why we need the community of believers. It's a process in which we can be victorious, though, because we have the right DNA with us within us. And I took this illustration, flesh and spirit are completely opposite. So, how long can you look at two points going in the opposite direction? How long can you look at the two at the same time? Not very long. You could see if you look at the Spirit and you walk by the Spirit and you grow the fruit of the Spirit and you grow in that, and that at one point you fix your eye on Jesus, you grow those things. You think this is starting to fall off of your vision. The acts of the flesh will start to fall off. You get my point? Amen. Yes? So it's a process. You know, some call it sanctification, but we're growing to be more like Jesus and the flesh is getting less important in our life. And the last thing I've seen last week, and I've developed a little bit, is this is something you cannot do in your own effort. You mustn't go back to the law. You know, say, I'm going to adopt the rules and I'm going to adopt the Christian behavior in my own effort. You mustn't do this because this is getting enslaved again to the law. When actually the whole letter of Galatians is telling you, no, you are free from the law, but there is a better way. There's the law of God now written in your heart. Amen. Now in your heart. Amen. And this is going to produce the fruit. So all you need is need to collaborate with the Holy Spirit in your heart and surrender. And this is how you will inherit everything God has for you.
Amen.
Yeah? I know some people who are really good, they think they're going to inherit just by proclaiming. That's not enough. We're not just proclaiming and that's, you know, we're not naming, claim it and... You know, no, we produce the fruit and we inherit by becoming more and more a Jesus. In this process, we might do some proclamation. In this process, we're going to, you know, regenerate our thoughts and things like that. But we mustn't forget that we are to crucify the desire of the flesh. Okay? Because it's impossible to look at the two things at the same time. Okay? If you want to inherit, you need to grow the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so let's dig a little bit deeper. I want to look today at what it matters and what we call the acts of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so let me just read from verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies, and the like. I warn you, and I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I explained what that means last week. Please go and listen. It doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation, because salvation is by grace, but it means you are going to be a miserable Christian and not inherit any of the promises of God and not live in joy and peace and righteousness, etc., etc. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Okay? So, first part, and let's look a little bit at the acts of the flesh. What I find really important is this three little words in the middle. I put them in red. And the like. And the like. You see, it is not an exhaustive list here. Okay? So if you read the list and you're thinking, oh, I'm all right. I'm not. But actually, and the like. That means this is not a full list. It's just giving you the headline, you know? It's giving you the headline. You know, for example, let me take a very simple example. If you, okay, for example, you're very tired, you come back from your day of work, and you watch TV, okay, and relax. Is that wrong? No. Not at all. The body needs relaxing. This is nothing wrong per se. However, if you cannot bear your life, and instead of turning to Jesus, you start to numb by watching TV, living in this parallel reality, not dealing with the reality, and in the process you're falling into apathy. And then you actually rather watch TV every night and numb rather than engage with others, and you can't do anything for God because you are so engrossed in your watching habits. Can you see the difference? One is fine. One, I would say, is and the like. You using TV as an act of the flesh. Does it make sense? Yeah? So you could see there's a lot of things we can do in the flesh that, you know, we need to look at. Now, what I would like to say is really important. I would not go and digging in my life for all the things wrong. I think when you read the list here, you know straight away the area where you need to repent, you know? You know, if you are in any of those, you know straight away the Holy Spirit say, yeah, that's not on. Okay? And for the things like watching TV and the things that are maybe not less that are less obvious, the Holy Spirit will point it out to you in due time. Okay, you don't need to dig for. Now remember, it's not from an angle of condemnation that the Holy Spirit will come. The voice of the Holy Spirit, it's for your good. It's because it wants your good. It wants you to fulfill your destiny. It's got hope for you. It's got freedom for you. Okay? So if you hear a voice like, you filthy rag, you so selfish, you lazy, you whatever. If you hear voices like that, I put my money on. That's the accuser of your soul who's talking to you like that. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you like that. The Holy Spirit comes for your transformation. He will tell you tough things sometimes. He will tell you things like, whoa, you still react like that. What's going on? But it will be truth with love in order for you to change and for you to be free of stuff. Okay? So remember Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Okay, so the Holy Spirit will show you. What helped me a lot when I looked at the acts of the flesh is to break it down in three categories. Okay, so I've done that for you because it helps me, honestly. So I broke it down so we put to death and we crucify the passion and the desire of our flesh. I put it in three categories. I think there is the acts of the flesh that have to do with not controlling our appetites. Yeah? So we all have a body, we have appetites. I'm talking about hunger, sexual, you know, appetites. We've got all of these appetites in our body, okay? And I would say, so I put there sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, you know, drunkenness, orgy, the fact that we want more of those things, you know, and in the wrong context. Can you see that? The appetites. So that's not controlling our appetites, the appetites of the flesh. But you see in that bit I was saying, in the light, the list is not exhaustive. I would personally add things like greed, you know, wanted more money. Or things like overeating, you know, like, oh, I want more because it tastes good, but I don't have self-control. You see, we're already talking about fruit of the spirit, you know, overconsumption of stuff. I've got to buy. Can you see that? You know, I would put those there, but it, you know, it's not a perfect kind of categorization. But the second one, which is very close, is worshipping the wrong gods with a little G's. I never know because in France it's completely opposite. So the wrong G's, okay? So for example, idolatry of anything that is above God. Mm. Another one really interesting is witchcraft. Oh my gosh, witchcraft. The definition of witchcraft in the Bible is not just a little bit of potion magic and spells. Mm. Witchcraft, listen to that, when I read it, I'm thinking, wow. Witchcraft is an attempt to control people, manipulate them, access power outside of God's will. That's what witchcraft is. Okay? So things like manipulating, intimidating, threatening people, try to get power. That's we are like worshipping on gods. We're turning to self. Self-ambition. Self, you know, I'm going to dominate, I'm going to be my own reliant God, that kind of thing. So that would be in the acts of the flesh. And then the last category, which I think is really important, is all the relational issues that we can find in the acts of the flesh. So things like jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy, well, it's got often to do with our insecurities. So our identity, we're being insecure, say, oh, why this one is getting this favor? Why I didn't get the promotion? Why, you know, oh, I'm, you know, you get it. That's a lack of trust in God to love us. That's a lack of trust that God loves us and wants to do good for us. Things like fits of rage, hatred, I think often it's got to do with there's still pain around in our lives. And or we've been brought up in in a way that it was okay to not have self-control in our emotion, you know. So fits of rage and hatred, how are we going to deal with those, yeah? And the last one, which is quite interesting, is dissensions, discord and faction. It's got to do with disunity in the body of Christ. You see, it's quite interesting in church because, I've been in church, since I'm a baby, you know, lots of you have as well. And it's quite interesting that there's a lot made in church about the top ones, the one who are linked about the body, you know, the impurity, sexual sins, drunkenness, orgies. We make a lot of that in church, right? And I think you could trace that back to a heresy in the Bible where people, it's gnosticism if you love that stuff, but it's an heresy who believe that the body is inherently evil, okay? But actually, God created us, our body, good, but there was the fall. And now what he's trying is to redeem the body. So in transsex, we're not going, oh, I'm going to, you know, the old Catholic, I'm going to flesh, I'm going to beat myself up and be, you know, that comes from this wrong idea. So in church, often we focus on that. But because we don't tolerate that category. But we're not so good at checking the other bits. We're not. There are some behavior or there's some things we do we are not so good at checking. Things like jealousy, because it's a bit hidden. Things like, you know, dissensions, discord, faction, that kind of thing. We don't check them as much. And, you know, witchcraft and things like that. There's a lot of controlling in church. You know, that's another one that can be present. and we're not so good at looking at them. But I think there's something to really understand it. All of these acts, why it is important to crucify it, is because they are a blockage to the mission of Jesus Christ. That means when we are into those things, we are obstacle. We are not effective in the body of Christ to bring, to glorify Jesus amongst the community. We can't, because we are enslaved. You know, in this first part, we're still enslaved, it looks like, to our flesh. And we need freedom coming. And then we focus on the wrong thing, and it deroots the mission of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important. Okay. I was shocked when I look at the list, and I look at I had to look at the definition. I have to tell you, I have to look at the definition of dissension, because I didn't know what it was. Okay, so I looked at, and basically dissension is a disagreement that has a spiritual aspect to it, because it comes and it creates disunity and spiritual disunity between brothers and sisters. Yeah, so there's a spiritual element there of disunity, and oh gosh, we know that disunity is such a big problem for the church. Look at all the types of church. We still love Jesus. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, but we don't agree with each other. We're not able to work in unity. So it's one of those I think the church should really look at. Because it's okay to have different opinion. It's okay to have a different opinion. But it's not okay when then we take it to attacking level, spiritual level, when we create fractions and disunity. Can you see the difference between, well, I don't agree with you, that's fine. But when it has a spiritual dimension and you're literally slowing down the work of Christ, that's where it starts to get a problem. I started last week by saying that the overarching point that Paul was making in Galatians 5 was that we are called to live in freedom, not to serve ourselves, but to serve others with love.
Amen.
Okay? That's the reason we need to crucify the acts of the flesh.
Yeah.
So that we would be effective and activated in the mission of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Okay? Because remember, if Jesus said there was a commandment, it was love God, that means stop worshipping the wrong things, love your neighbors like yourself.
Hallelujah.
So get rid of your wrong idolatries and your dissensions and things. You know, that's all you got to do. Love God. Love your neighbor like yourself.
Yes.
That's where you can see straight away, I need the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
So let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love is the fundamental things.
Amen.
It's not a surprise that we're starting by love in the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Because it's the baseline for everything. Okay?
Amen.
All the other fruits are expression of God's divine and selfless love. All the fruits are really an expression of God's divine and selfless love. I mean, it's not a surprise when you read 1 Corinthians 13.
Amen.
You know, this great chapter about love.
Amen.
What does it say? Love is
patient.
Love is kind. Come on, give me some. I'll check you alive. I'm checking your life and kicking. Yes. He doesn't think of his own.
That's
right.
Yes. He overlooks some stuff.
Oh, he's patient.
He's patient. Woo! That sounds like the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Here we've got them. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control.
Amen.
My brother did that. He was tired. Oh, it's all right. I'm not going to take offense. I know him. Be quick. Oh, that's okay. It's a bad day, you know. If it persists, even with love, I could say, hey. You see what I'm saying? So, it's so fundamental. And then, joy, peace. I mean, whoa. It says joy, peace, and righteousness is in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness. Okay? So the growth of the fruit of the Spirit in us is the development of the nature of God Himself in us. Should I repeat that? The growth of the fruit of the Spirit in us, okay, is the development of the nature of God Himself. Amen. That means we are becoming more and more like Jesus. Amen. That means we're doing this. Okay? We're growing in the Spirit. We're growing. The flesh doesn't matter anymore. We're going after God. That's why we can be effective in the mission of Christ. Okay? Wow, imagine the love of Jesus, the faithfulness, His goodness, His gentleness, it's incredible. Now, a couple of points about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. Developing the fruit of the Spirit. Well, the first thing to note is those characteristics are supernatural. Okay? That means the fruit of the Spirit mustn't be confused with natural traits of character that some of us have. Mm-hmm. Yeah? It cannot be confused with a temperament. It cannot be confused with brain chemistry or self-interest. Okay? Because some of us here are naturally kind. Some are more patient. I mean, that's not me. Some are more gentle. Okay? Some are more able to self-control. Some are less anxious. You know? But this is not the fruit of the Spirit. That's just a natural character trait. Okay? But it gives us a bit of a warning there, because you see, we all have weaknesses, and we all have areas where we absolutely need Holy Spirit development. And we all start at different points. So we've got to be gracious in all of this. Okay? But the first thing really I want to say is we mustn't confuse Holy Spirit with natural traits of character, and I will explain in a second. The second thing we cannot confuse fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit goes far beyond what you can humanly be taught or be trained in. Yeah? Because I can teach my children to be kind. But again, the fruit of the Spirit would be more than that. It would be more than that, more than the behavior. Listen, if you've been brought up, if you've been brought up in a British traditional middle class, okay, you would be naturally be brought up to be more patient. You will be brought up to not interrupt when people speak. That's not the French. Okay? You would be brought up to be super polite and too cute. That's not the French. Okay? And you would be brought up to never disagree overtly and loudly in public. That's not the French. Okay? And you can recognize in your own culture if it's there or not. So this is clearly not something you are trained in or that you've been taught. This is just class culture. In my example, it's just British class culture. Okay? Different cultures are good at different things. Okay? And they might look like the fruit of the Spirit, but it's not. Okay? It's what we've been trained to do. Okay? I'm going to explain to you why now. So for example, so it's funny, Jesus, when we say love, okay, loving people, Jesus didn't teach us, it's very interesting, he didn't teach us to directly. He didn't say, people, you are to love your mom and dad and to love your children. Actually, he didn't say that because he thought that's a new natural thing to do. He does say, honor your mom and dad, I don't know all the teaching, right? But listen to the point. However, he says explicitly, love your enemies. Okay? And things like love after the poor, make sure that you look after the poor well. Do you know what? Because there's a spiritual dimension in it. You can't do it by yourself. You can't love your enemy by yourself. You get me? So the fruit of the Spirit is so much more, because Now it's not just, oh, love your mom and dad. I can do that naturally. You know, I can love my children quite naturally, but I cannot love my enemies naturally. Yeah, there's a spiritual dimension. Sometimes it's tough to love your enemy. I'm going to need Holy Spirit for that one. Oh, here's another one. Listen to this one. He doesn't say, husband, love your wife. He doesn't say that. Paul doesn't say that. He says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. That's very different, because I hope that all husbands love their wives. But do they love their wives like Christ loved the church, which means laying down his life for the church? Whoa, ouch. That's much more difficult. That's much more. It takes Holy Spirit, right? So love is beyond what we can humanly achieve. We need Holy Spirit. It's the same. Take self-control. Okay. Example famous in the Bible. Don't look at a woman in a lustful way. This is adultery in your heart. So here the self-control is extended to the heart. It's not just, that's in Matthew, by the way, the Beatitude. So basically, it doesn't say, don't commit adultery. I'm saying now, don't commit adultery in your heart. That's where Jesus, that's where Holy Spirit is at. So basically, what is meaning there is, it's not just about your behavior, I'm not committing adultery. Now you need Holy Spirit empowerment, because your heart is changed. So you don't even want to look at other women. Can you see the difference? It takes Holy Spirit. That's not just your body, that's your heart. So the same, it says, don't call your brother Raka. So basically, don't swear and call people name. That's not about your behavior again, because here, it's about changing your heart so you will be patient and kind. You know, we're going to another stage there where we have to have a kind heart. We need to relate to our brothers and sisters. So it's not enough to not, you know, just have the opposite, but we all need to change our hearts. So this is my fourth point. All the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit grow by a transformation of our hearts from the inside out by collaborating with the Holy Spirit. All of this fruit of the Spirit will grow by a transformation of your heart. From the inside out, not the behavior, not the superficial thing, not the thing you've been taught as a child, not by, oh, I'm doing the proper Christian thing that, but inside, I hate it. You see? Oh, I'm giving my time. I'm really, really good Christian. And inside I'm thinking, oh God, why do I have to do that? No, that's why, you know, it matters more, your heart, the way you give, the way you speak to people, the way, because of your heart, yeah? Sometimes we think we are doing great in becoming like Jesus, but all we have done is we have learned good outward behavior. That's what we have done. And our heart has not been transformed to his likeness. We were talking about that, Gary, where they sometimes we wonder why some Christians are not changing. Yes. You're meeting Christian who have been like 30 years, 40 years Christian, and they're still struggling with the same. They're not kind, they greet. Yeah. And you're thinking, because they've learned some behavior, but they've not been transformed to his likeness from inside. Amen. Okay? And actually, I'm going to finish by looking at some counterfeit, because it's easy to develop fruits that looks like the fruit of the Spirit, but actually they counterfeit. They're not the fruit of the Spirit. And this idea comes from Timothy Keller. It's not my genius head, by the way. It's just Timothy Keller. And he's got this great quote. He says, the fruit of the Spirit are not mere moral achievements, but evidence of a transformed heart. While counterfeits are fake versions produced by self-will, pride, and fear. Amen. So I'm going to go and give you a few examples, and then we will finish. Okay, don't worry, I could put this in the newsletter if you want that table. Okay, so, for example, say love, or affection, okay, as a fruit of the Spirit, it really should be unconditional. Okay? But if we love people for what they can give us, if we treat people well so they make us feel good about ourselves, that's a counterfeit. So you could have a behavior that looks like love, but really you're doing it, you know, because you want something in return. Rather than, okay, I'm going to love them unconditionally, regardless what I'm getting, you know? So the next one is super important, okay? Joy that overflows with excitement about God and who He is a gift of the Spirit. That joy that gives hope and that takes us out of despair because He is who He says He is. That's the real joy. It's the fruit of Spirit. It doesn't depend on the circumstances. The fake joy, the human joy, it's, well, you're joyful when you are blessed. Or things are going your way, you're joyful. That's normal. So this joy is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's mood swings based on your circumstances, whether or not your life is going tough or not. But the real joy, the fruit of the Spirit, is one trusting God and say, wow, even in jail, Paul was singing and full of joy. Can you see the difference between the two? Peace. So peace, the fruit of the Spirit, produce a resting in the wisdom and care of God.
Yes.
I have peace because I know it takes care of me. Mm-hmm. That means I'm free from agitation and frustration. Mm-hmm. I release my anxiety to Him. I release my worry to Him. So I can have peace. And the counterfeit version of peace is, well, I'm okay because that doesn't affect me. I'm okay. I'm in peace, which doesn't affect me. So you could have things like indifference, apathy, not caring. Well, if you don't care, well, you are relative peace, you know. It would be the same to say, oh, well, there's a war right now in Iran. Well, I don't care. It's far away, you know. I've got peace. I'm not really, you know what I'm saying? It's very, very, very different. Patience is about the willingness to stick to things. It's about endurance and resilience and tolerating delay and suffering because you put your trust in God. And it's about hanging in there without building resentment towards God because you know the breakthrough will come. You don't know when, but you trust in Him. That's patience. That I'm tolerating those delay and suffering without building resentment. The counterfeit is, yeah, it looks like I'm patient, but really I have hardened my heart to it. And I'm quite cynical. I'm more like, oh, well, not expecting much because, well, that's 20 years I've been praying for that. It's not healed me. Well, we'll see. So, yeah, it looks I'm patient. It looks like I'm patient, but really inside I have hardened my heart and I'm a little bit cynical. That's not patience, okay? Kindness of God is really about compassion, tenderness, generosity in action. It's about serving others practically. The fake alternative is manipulating for the good deeds. Is I'm doing this, I'm kind to feel good about myself. I'm doing this, I'm kind because I expect a return. Or I'm kind, but really I feel superior in my kindness. Oh, look, I'm such a good Christian. I'm doing good deeds. Yeah? That's the counterfeit. Goodness is about integrity, being the same person in every situation, always truthful and always loving. That's the goodness. That's the goodness. So the counterfeit could be, oh, you look like good, but actually you're never willing to confront or challenge with love. So that's not good because you let a rubbish stuff going through. So we must be able to be confront and challenge, but with love. Or the other thing you could do, the counterfeit of goodness, you're doing good things, but then you are blunt. When you want to actually bring correction, you have no grace in your heart. You know, that's another counterfeit that could happen with the. Oh, look! I'm so good. I am righteous. I'm bringing the correction of the Lord. Okay? Well, you forgot truth in love, you know? Love being the first fruit of the Spirit. So faithfulness is about loyalty and dedication, being constant, being utterly reliable and true to your word. And you see here, it's really interesting because this is very relevant for church, actually. The counterfeit could be to follow rules out of fear, or follow rules so you would get opportunities and promotion. And I think in church we see that sometimes, you know, pastor that demand things from people, yes? And yeah, people, they look like they're faithful and they're doing stuff, but they're doing it because they're a bit fearful of what the pastor think. Or they follow the rules out of fear, thinking, oh, what's going to happen to my ministry if I'm stepping out of line? I better be faithful. You know what I'm saying? That's not fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is to be reliable, but constant with education, but not out of fear, and not for self-promotion. Gentleness, it's a certain softness, humility, self-forgetfulness about us in that sense. Okay? We surrender to Jesus. We don't need to force our own ways with gentleness. We don't need to force our own way. We've got the one who fights for us. That's gentleness. So gentleness is not about a manner of being. It's not about insecurities. Oh, he's very gentle, he's a bit insecure. Okay. It's not about false humilities. It's not, oh, he's very humble, you know what I mean? That's not gentleness. Wow, gentleness, it takes a lot to be gentle. It's actually said, you know what? I choose to not put myself first, to not push through my own agenda, but I trust in God, and I surrender to God, and I go in His strength. That's gentleness. And finally, self-control is the ability to lead ourselves, our desire, or emotional. It's the ability of directing our energy wisely. Even in difficult circumstances, Holy Spirit help us to prioritize. In difficult circumstances, it's the ability to pursue the important over the urgent. So when a crisis happens, we don't really stop praying, stop moving. No, we know where the important things is. It's not being impulsive, okay? Now, the counterfeit of that, when you try to be self-controlled in your own flesh, the counterfeit is willpower. So I say, look, I can self-control by my willpower. That's the root of that is actually pride. It's the need of being in control. It's self-sufficiency. It's independence. It's self-reliance. So the sources of your self-control is self rather than supernatural Holy Spirit activity in your life that helps you, that directs you, that know which step to take, that know what to turn down, to turn off, etc., etc. All right, so I want to finish by dedicating ourselves to grow the fruit of the Spirit. I know I'm a little bit longer than normal this today, but I think it was important to go through. I hope that He helped. Okay. So I just want to finish together by saying a few things. How can we grow the fruit of the Spirit? You know what? I'm going to make you stand up, okay? Because it's going to be a response to our heart. If you wish, no one is compulsed, but I'm going to make you, you know, because we want to be activated to do those things, okay? I think to grow the fruit of the Spirit, okay, we need to first refuse to try to manufacture Christian character without relying on the gospel. Okay? Because the real fruit is produced by Holy Spirit internal change. When the counterfeit is produced by human egos. Did you get that point? Yeah? So the counterfeit comes from our ego, from our pride, from our self-manufacturing willpower. But the Holy Spirit is the one who produces. So I just propose we just pray about that. Let's take 1 minute. Let's take 1 minute. Father, we're asking you to reveal that to our heart, that we do not want to manufacture our own change, but we agree with you that the fruit of our own change needs to be anchored in Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Can we agree on that?
Amen.
If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we refuse to try to manufacture that by ourselves, okay? We want to be rooted in the gospel. The second thing I think we need to agree is be like a tree planted in fertile soil and near water. That's for me, it's all about the nutrition you can get in God's words, okay? So can we agree on that, that for transformation we need to hear from God? One of the most natural way of hearing from God is being rooted in His Word. Can we agree on that?
Amen.
Let's say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We want to be rooted from the, we want to be in the nutritious source. Okay? Sometimes we're not changing this because we're not listening to God. We are not engaging in the words of God. Okay? The other one is, do you know, nothing grows without the light. We lack the warmth of His presence. So as we're reading the Word, as we're praying, as we're doing all our devotion, we need His presence, okay? And that speaks to me about, you know, it's not about acknowledge. It's about relationship with God, relationship with Him, His presence, His presence. Let's agree that we gotta go for His presence in our lives, not just when we open the Word. Every day, every walking, taking the bus, going to school, whatever, we can say, Holy Spirit, be with me. We can engage with His presence. We can be more aware of His presence. And the next one says, commit our heart. We want to commit our heart to a daily process of surrender to the ways of Jesus. Would we agree on that?
Amen.
Let's commit our heart to a surrender, a daily surrender. Every day we're going to walk the way of Jesus.
Amen.
That's doing, I'm watching the right finger growing. Okay, I'm committing myself to look at those things and grow. It's an everyday process.
Amen.
It's not a Sunday process, okay?
Amen.
Because that's another thing, is you won't grow if you just build your life on 40 minutes preaching on Sunday. You will not grow.
Amen.
You might just get few revelation from time to time, if we're not too bad. But that doesn't replace the Holy Spirit. No way that replaces Holy Spirit. Okay? Then the other one is, are we listening and are we obeying to His prompting?
Amen.
That means when He does speak, what do we do with it? Are we obeying? Are we following His prompting? Are we quick to say, sorry? Are we quick to say, oh, I've spoken that. Oh man, I'm still doing this. I need changing. Yeah? Are we quick to recognize that? And then the last thing I want to leave you with is, you know, everything that is fear, anxiety, despair, when it grows in your life, this is little clues that you are not walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Spirit, the walk in the Spirit, is that would give you hope.
That's
in your
right.
life. That would give you joy, peace, maybe, you know. So fear and anxiety, despair, those things should fall off. And if you are doing something in your relationship with God, or you know, and it develops some fear or it develops some anxiety, I would suggest this is not a fruit of the Spirit. This is not something that grows the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So let's just pray.